Breakfast puppies?
This podcast contains adult language and content and is meant for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars. But mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Hey, Jacob, what are you drinking over there?
Beer of our people, Old German.
Ooh, once again, bringing it back to the old
what
school.
Is OG. This
OG premium lager? Have we had this before?
Yeah, no, I think we've had it at least two or three times. It might have even been the first thing.
It was.
If not second or third, yeah. But it's up there.
Oh, that's why this tastes familiar.
Yeah, yeah. The official beer of Bikers, Dice, and Bars at this point. Old German, if you're looking to sponsor a podcast, please let us know. We'd love to have you. Bring one of your representatives on the show and tell all of our two listeners about all of the great things that your beer company does.
You know what, NPC? This beer is definitely not the worst.
this beer is not the worst. And speaking of other things that are not the worst, you're listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars, recorded here in Portland, Oregon. As usual, I'm NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
The Dr. Xander, Gerrymander.
Poppy Beaujolais.
And today, Xander gave us a little bit of a hint here. We're going to be talking about the broad scope topic of the worsts, as in the worst rides, the worst games, the worst drinks or drinking experiences.
Oh, dear.
The worst things that we have experienced in our hobbies. But we're going to try and do it in a jovial manner.
not the total antithesis of nerdy nice.
Yeah.
But in a fun-loving kind of, we've had these experiences kind of way.
Yeah, this is shitty seventh, and we're doing the worst. No, but we're also trying a slightly new format alternative this time. We're going to experiment with this and see if it works the way we want to. But the theory is we want to have a little bit more time talking about the things that we love instead of kind of cramming them into some segments here. So we're really just going to go to town on this a little bit more free form than we do. I hope you enjoy.
And let us know what y'all think.
Hopefully this episode is not the worst.
Speaking of worsts, oh my God. Yeah, we're rolling into fall, winter in the Pacific Northwest. And the weather last couple mornings has reminded me of my worst motorcycle ride ever.
Ooh, tell me.
Wait, on a beautiful fall day? I am confused. Continue.
Well, it's because out in my neck of the woods, in the hinterlands of unincorporated Washington County.
Oh.
Washington County, not state.
Washington County,
these are different things state around here. Confused me when I moved to this town.
We've had temperatures as low as 21, 22 in the morning.
I hate it.
Recently? In the last few days?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So many years ago, when I was in Portland, I was working at a job where I worked in East County. For those of you not from the Portland area, that's basically the east side of Portland. The place I worked for had their main office on the far, far, far west side of town, in Hillsboro, for those of you who are local. It was a day where it was a mandatory meeting. Just Jacob, only rides. It was 18 degrees.
Yikes. Yeah.
Continue.
So, from through morning traffic at 18 degrees, I rode from my work site all the way to the main office for the mandatory meeting. When I got there, I slid my hands off my handlebars, and they were like permanently locked because of arthritis due to cold in the circle grips or from around the handlebars.
So your hands look like a Lego guy.
Yes. Yes. I looked like a Lego guy.
Okay.
Oh.
Now, I have ridden in rain. I have ridden in sleet. I have ridden in hail. One of my bicycle rides involved hail the size of marbles. I've sucked, but nothing sucked that bad. It took me over an hour and a half to warm back up because I was traveling at highway speed most of that time at 18 degrees. Drivers going by me were like, "You're out of your goddamn mind." Mm-hmm. And yes, I was, but
yeah.
And I don't ride with heated gear, but oh, let me tell you, I started reconsidering that day.
I've been thinking about the same thing as well. Like, I don't really like riding in the winter because I don't like cold hands and I don't like cold thighs. And those, they just freeze up. And I've been really considering getting like some USB pluggable kind of something to just run in under your jacket and plug into your engine. That'd be rad.
Just Jacob's ride reminds me of my worst ride. A number of years ago, back when I had my very first scooter, a lovely little Buddy 50, but I think I got bored out to be a Buddy 70 illegal. Anyways, not the point. Y'all remember that massive snowstorm 2008 into 2009 that winter?
Oh, yep. Snowmageddon.
That, yeah. Like the actual Snowmageddon?
That was
the
when I remember that because Obama got elected during that snowstorm. And a bunch of us were watching the elections at our house in the snowstorm. And then we were trapped there for days.
Well, this was in December, but...
Yeah, that was my first winter in Portland. I remember it very, very well. I got stuck in my driveway for a few days. I got stuck in my house for a few days because I couldn't get out of my driveway.
Welcome to town, kid.
Yeah.
Anyways, when that snowstorm rolled into this city, I was working for TSA at the time.
You were the man.
I was the man. And I had rolled into work on my Buddy 50 at 5 a.m. The snow started to come down around 8 a.m. in those little tiny ass flakes to let you know this storm means business. And this was back when the security terminals were still above ground next to the counter check-in for the airlines. And so I had a giant plate glass view of what I had to go back through a few hours from then. And I remember strapping up in my scooter, and I remember the winds coming in at like 30, 40 miles an hour. And I just decided I'm just going to go back to my girlfriend's house because it's way closer than the West Hills. And being almost blown off the road, going like 15 miles an hour back to where she lived, and actually not that far from here. And then getting to work the next day, in which I had to start pouring hot water over my scooter to even get the electric kickstart or the actual kickstart to work because the electric wouldn't fire. And I was like, I'm going to go to work. And then after that second day, because I worked for the federal government, Governor Ted Kulongowski, our governor at the time, declared a state of emergency.
That's right.
Which mandated that I was required by law to show up to work.
Oh, wow.
For 2 weeks. And every day I would show up to work on my little Buddy 50.
Wow.
And I would show up to the airport. For like 6 or 7 days in a row, I did this. And my shift was normally a 5-hour shift. It was a part-time job. I was mandated to stay like 12 or 14 hours because, again, they could hold you there as long as they wanted to. On one of the last days, I go and I do the hot water thing on my scooter. And I kick her, rev her up, and I get her going. And I'm just like, all right, here we go. And I start going. And at this point, the snow's mostly gone. But because it's 4:30 in the morning, I don't see the black ice until a little bit later.
No.
And I come coming to a 4-way stop, and I'm like, all right, just got to pump my brakes. It's not going to be a problem. Unless your handle brakes are frozen.
Oh, no.
So I start trying to pump the brakes, and it's like nothing's happening. And finally, I crack the ice, and because of that, I hit way too hard on the brakes, and I slide into the intersection.
And dear listener, if you are not familiar with the Pacific Northwest black ice, it's the fucking worst. Because we hit that spot where we just basically stay at a permafreeze during those times. And even if the road gets cleared out by plows or whatever, that we have that freezing rain that comes in, freezes overnight, maybe melts a little bit during the day, and then refreezes at night. And essentially that means we have a basically 2 months of black ice.
Sucks. It was about a quarter to a half inch of pure clean ice, and so all you see is asphalt until it's too late. And so I slid out into the middle of the intersection. Some guy tried to help me get back up, and I was like, hey, thanks, man, I think I'm okay. Put my shit back together, And I get back on. As I start riding back towards work, I realize I'm in a lot of pain.
Oh.
And so I roll in late and I get the whole boss looking at the watch, tapping it thing as I stroll in. And then he sees that I'm physically limping as I have torn through my uniform pants that I didn't realize at the time. My leg is actually pretty messed up. And keep in mind, I work with a bunch of, you know, kind of machismo guys who always would brag about their 4x4. I got vroom, vroom. I got this big car and truck that does whatever, this big Jeep. And they all stayed at home during this time period. And I was used to chastise them as, I got a guy who comes to work every fucking day on a goddamn scooter. What's your excuse? until this happened to me. But so then my supervisor saw me. Like, the suits don't come down for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the suits came down and drove me to a hospital down in Sunnyside.
Oh, wow. Dang.
I was bleeding. it was not great. But, you know, I got paid for. I worked for the government. I don't know. But, yeah, that was – that black ice just slide through was one of the fucking worst.
Yikes.
Yeah. I think my worst – see, okay. I was about to relate to the black ice thing, and I can relate to it, but I've experienced black ice twice on a motorcycle, and as much as it sucked – I cannot relate those to being my worst rides because both times didn't damage my bike at all. I got right up, kept driving, and nothing else like remotely weird happened. It was a learning experience for me. But it also taught me not to ride during certain seasons. but the worst Fair. Ride was actually during the summer. And this was a couple years back. I took a solo motorcycle trip down to Waldport to go to this cabin that was like right on the beach and get some riding done. And it was amazing. Some riding and some writing. The ride down there sucked because it was at one point I'm going down a back road, 18 or something. No, I don't remember what highway it was. I was heading out of Corvallis down to the coast and someone throws a milkshake at me. And it hits.
What?
Someone coming the other way threw a milkshake at me and it hit my windshield, splattered all across it. So I had to pull over and clean it off. Thankfully, I had a squeegee in my saddlebag.
What? Okay. That's fucked up, man.
Fucked up.
What the fuck
yeah.
is wrong with people?
Like that you is don't potentially.
Even, you, he doesn't even look like Andy, no.
NGO, for our listeners who don't know who that is, look it up. It's funny.
Yeah, my friend doesn't know what that is, so they should look it up.
Yeah, there will be a link. I am ashamed to be linking to him in our notes, but I'm going to.
Just do the milkshake gif. It's hilarious. Yeah.
And I got down there. Finally, everything was fine. I'm in Waldport. I have a fantastic experience in this tiny ass town that was like the perfect town for me to get away to and have a solo writing experience. On the way back home, the state's on fire.
Oh.
And I'm riding back highway, and it's just heavy smoke lingering everywhere. And I had to like pull off every 15 or 20 minutes and hit my inhaler. And it was just a grueling, awful experience.
Was all you could think was, God, I miss those fucking milkshakes.
Man, I need some strawberry goodness right now.
You know what would be really refreshing? Right. Well, my
An old German premium lager.
That's very true. Well, I've not been riding consistently for very long here, only a couple of weeks. I mean, I could talk about, you know, my first experience taking the Team Oregon class where I quit, but I could talk about the first time I took, you know, Joan, my Honda Rebel out and I just fell. But really my worst actual ride happened just a couple of weeks ago. I was going to the DMV early in the morning. To get the title transferred over and get all my ducks in a row for the new Scooty. And I decided to go before work, as you have to do when you work a 9 to 5:30 kind of gig. And I decided, in all my infinite wisdom, for various and sundry reasons, decided to go to the DMV in North Portland.
Oh, rookie mistake.
Because you hate yourself?
Because I hate myself?
Because Gresham was too far away?
This is my first early morning ride. Normally, I don't have to be to work until 9 a.m. I don't live that far from the day job. I can leave around 8:30, 8:45 and be fine. So I'm leaving at, 7:15 in the morning. Forgot about the whole morning fog thing that we get here in the beautiful Pacific Northwest, especially in early fall. And I'm going to an area of town I don't know very well. I've got my, Google Maps on my phone, and I've got my little headphones plugged in under my helmet. I had it all figured out. And I was trying to take the route that I don't really like going over about 35 miles an hour right now, just because I'm a new rider.
Smart.
And yeah, which is pretty smart. And there was, getting to that DMV, there's this portion of road where you had to go on this particular road that was 45 miles an hour. So it's morning rush hour traffic. It's foggy. I have to go over a couple overpasses, which of course are probably going to be a little bit icy because it's an overpass and the morning dew and all that kind of garbage, even though it's in the 40s.
That'll happen.
Even though it's in the 40s, and my helmet is fogging up. I don't know where the fuck I'm going. I'm terrified. I hadn't taken my Adderall yet. It's just a mess. And these poor people behind me, and I'm just like, I'm going like 30 in a 45 in morning traffic. And these poor people behind me are just pissed. And I only have to go on this road for like a hot minute before I turn off. And then I'm on kind of more back roads where it's like 20 or 30 miles an hour or whatever. And at some point, I turned off onto one of these other roads. I'm just about to the DMV. And this fucking minivan just decides they're going to pass me. Like, I'm clearly struggling, and whatever. And they just decide they're just going to pass me. And it was terrifying. I think that the worst part was, I didn't know where I was going and my helmet was fogging up. So I basically had to ride with my visor open, so the morning air going into my eyeballs. And I wear contact lenses, so that's fun. And basically writing illegally because I don't have any eye protection, and just it was terrifying.
I don't want to drift too far into accessory advice discussion here, but because of that exact reason, I have clear sunglasses that I wear in the mornings or at night when it gets too dark.
I need to get me some. I need to get me some.
They are lifesavers, specifically. For the wind breeze.
Yeah.
Also, pinlock visors are your friend.
Yep.
I double checked all my little vents were open, and it was just really, I was also terrified. So I was probably breathing really heavily,
I think it was only like your seventh or eighth ride.
And it was my first like early morning ride ever. And it was sort of my test for myself. And also I didn't know if they had to do a VIN check on the scooter or not. So I just took it there with me.
Another thing I found that's helpful in those kinds of conditions too is just going and like clipping your visor up, just like the one scotch, because that airflow will go defog, and you're not having the full face exposed.
I mostly ride with my visor cracked pretty much all the time, just because for whatever reason I just fog up a lot. And I'm so hot. I'm breathing so heavy all the time, guys. But I remember this morning, like, that wasn't working.
Yeah.
Like, that. And it was the morning, so I was driving. At one point, I had to drive east, so also the sun is in my face, and I can't fucking see anything. It's just black. And, oh, my God, it was terrifying. So I get to the DMV, and I'm like, I'm already 50th in line or something. And I finally get up to the customer service desk, and I'm like showing the lady all my stuff. And I'm like, do I have everything? And she was like, oh, yeah, you can just mail this in. She was like, yeah, just do it. You just have to write out a check for like $98 or whatever and do this, this, and this. And you can just mail that in. Here's an envelope. And I was like, OK, thank you. So that is thus far my worst ride.
So real quick, another round the table here before we drift on the game talking worst stuff. I want to ask you what you think the worst road in town is. Xander, for biking specifically.
Motorbiking or bicycling?
Pick the worst of the two. Pretty much most roads suck for bicycling, despite this apparently being a bike-friendly city. But motorcycles specifically here.
Yeah. there are actually certain parts of this neighborhood that's, or no, let's take it back. There's certain parts of Northeast Alberta neighborhood where my second job is right now that if you go off the wrong road, oh, I'm sorry, unimproved road.
Yep.
I'm like, this is a nice neighborhood. Why am I spitting over gravel right now? This is some bullshit.
I thought this was a road, not a lake.
Right. Haha, not in the winter, not in the fall, not in the spring, suck it. No, there's a lot of parts of Northeast Alberta neighborhood where if you just take the wrong road, it's just a bunch of fucking, not even potholes, because they're just holes in a dirt road with gravel on them. And I'm just like, all right, go 5 miles an hour.
It's more like the surface of the moon.
You know what? Yeah.
But actually, like, not as soft.
And there's no zero gravity, so I can't do cool flips.
Yeah, those are the worst.
Columbia Boulevard.
Why?
It is really a combination of, especially if you get farther away from this end and more towards the river, it starts falling apart fast.
And fascinating.
You get a lot of potholes. You get a lot of people trying to cross a two-lane each way with suicide lane road.
Okay.
Constantly. People are always trying to flip weird U-turns. Half the traffic doesn't know where they're going. The other half are trying to speed above 45 miles an hour. It's this like special hell of there's not much of a shoulder either. So you have two lanes going each direction with a suicide lane. It should be everything that's right in the world as far as a major throughway. Except then there are people pushing carts across a 5-lane street and people who don't know what they're going and suddenly think they're in some barren wasteland commercial industrial hell zone and are concerned about marauding gangs, apparently.
So what you're saying is a real life version of Frogger is happening.
Yes, literally. Yikes. And I am the motorcyclist on that.
For me, the two roads that I hate the most, and I hate them equally, are Southwest NATO, because it is like riding through a heavily shelled war zone on a motorcycle. And 82nd. Uh-huh. There are stretches of 82nd that have finally been resurfaced, but they are few and far between. 82nd, also, it's one of those roads that Portland doesn't want to take care of it. The state doesn't want to take care of it because it's a highway. So they keep arguing over whose responsibility it is to do it. But yeah.
Also, it's East Portland. And if you're in East Portland, the city doesn't give a fuck about you.
Basically, anything after 60th, they're like, fuck you.
Yep.
You know.
Pretty much. Since my limited riding in Portland thus far, the two that I was just two little ones, 60th, Northeast 60th between Halsey and Sacramento.
Oh, yeah.
Is basically like cobblestone. Also, 43rd between Division and like Clinton is also basically cobblestone. It's just pebbles and a couple of little asphalt like grout in between some rocks. It's awful.
I think that's called progress. I'm also going to go give a quick shout out. A quick shout out to every single part of Portland roads where they've decided that max tracks or light rail tracks are an acceptable thing for people to go and ride on, whether you're a bicyclist or a motorcyclist.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Especially when they all kind of go and cross each other.
Oh, Lord.
And it's like, no, this is a road. Good luck. And then when it rains, it gets all manner of slippery, which is already slippery again. And also Hawthorne Bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my butthole clenches really tight every time I go over Hawthorne Bridge.
I'm just never going to go across the Hawthorne Bridge.
The Morrison's right there.
Yeah, I'm going to take Burnside. Fuck it.
Well, Morrison used to be just as bad until they did the fucked up rework on it.
I don't understand what people's thing about the Hawthorne Bridge is. I mean, but I support you in your detestation of it. But I just don't get it.
Can you just cut his mic?
Bye, Jacob.
My first time riding over the trolley streetcar tracks was a little butt and vagina clenching for me.
Especially the Broadway Bridge is not good.
I have not crossed the river yet with my scooter.
Hot take. The streetcar tracks are worse than the MAX tracks.
Oh, interesting. That's good to know.
That's my personal opinion.
I just think you're wrong.
I just think they don't bed them in the street as well.
Mm-hmm. And I was trying to remember back to my Team Oregon class. I'm like, okay, go over them at an angle. Don't, you know, it worked. It all worked.
Well, I want to take this to gaming and talk about the worst games we've ever played.
Fallout 76.
Well,
motherfucker beat me to it.
We'll get to that in a second. But the games that I specifically want to talk about, for me, I'm going to kick this off with some tabletop games. And despite me having a deep hatred for Cards Against Humanity and Settlers of Catan, I also play a lot of role-playing games. And the games that strike to me when I think, what's the worst game I've ever played? Both of them were convention gaming experiences.
Ah, yes.
And I'm going to be kind of vague on these because some of them involve people I like in ways that I didn't appreciate. So one of these gaming experiences was at GameStorm. And I remember sitting at this table playing a game, an indie game that's very popular, and really enjoying this game. Really enjoyed the mechanics of the game, enjoyed the story that was happening in the tabletop experience with us. But the guy I was sitting next to smelled so bad that I couldn't think. If I was sitting too, like the wind would occasionally blow past when the AC kicked on in this hotel space and like just this whiff of him would flow by, and it was, I wanted to gag. So I, fortunately, in my bag, I had a little tin of Carmex.
I was going to say, did you bring a snuff box?
And I just slathered it all over my nostrils, and suddenly I didn't smell them anymore. However, it wore out pretty quickly. So I basically spent that whole game slathering. And they were like, what are you doing? It's like, oh, I got a chapped nose. How do you do that? I'm a motorcyclist. As if that makes any sense.
Vicks Vapor Rub,
yes,
also is a good thing, yeah, to have in your... Any of us who have worked in healthcare know.
Yeah, yeah.
Vicks
Pack
Vapor
in your
Rub,
gaming bag.
Just put some in your little tube, put it up their nose. Oh, it lasts for hours.
And chew wintergreen gum at the same time.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Having,
yeah,
dealt with a lot of bodies in my time.
Those throat, what do you call them? It's not gum. It's the filmy, mm-hmm, Listerine throat strips. Yep.
Yeah.
Pop one of those and it goes right through your nose.
Just like 8 Altoids. It's fine, you know.
Anyway, the other one was also a convention game. And again, I'm going to be kind of vague on this. I had gone to this convention up in Seattle and signed up for an Unknown Armies game. Unknown Armies is one of my favorite role-playing games of all time. Well, I go and sit down at the table at the appointed time, and no one shows up. Wait about 15 minutes, no one shows up. Like, God damn it. Oh, well. Friend of mine's sitting over at another table. I go and join her. And everything is fine, and helping somebody play test another game, and it was a lot of fun. Then, finally, about 30, 40 minutes into the slot, the group shows up because they had actually gone to the wrong room. Now, this isn't the worst game I've ever been in, but it's the worst game I could have been in. I dodged a bullet on this one. The guy who sat down and ran was clearly like 15 or 16. And I think one of the players was his uncle or his dad, and the others were just his high school friends that had come, and they were all playing this game. And they all called him, like, he had some kind of, I don't remember what it was. He had some kind of like a weird Leet Haxor handle that he went by socially.
No.
Like, who does that? It was like a Raver name or something. And then he played an Unknown Armies campaign, like a nonstop combat slog.
What?
And I'm sitting and listening to this game over my shoulders and being like, oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. It was wonderful.
So I'm going to little combo of two. I'm going to do one tabletop game and one board game, I guess you can call it. Okay, so tabletop game. My first tabletop experiences were with my high school buddies, and we had this thing where we had a D&D campaign. We would all kind of go around where one person would run a campaign, and then we'd have another GM in the group, and then they would run a campaign. And the first three were just a lot of fun. And then we got that guy.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy. That guy that was that super skinny guy that had like the fake dragon on his shoulder he would show up with.
Oh, yeah.
And he just thought he was the most clever son of a bitch around, and he would... All right, you've entered this like crazy puzzle chamber now. And we're like, okay, you've completely gone off rails as to what the entire campaign was so far. But sure, We're in a puzzle chamber. Okay. And his puzzles made no sense. And we had real good experienced role players with us. And they're just like, none of this makes sense. Mm. So we're just stuck in rooms for like an hour just going, dude, just what? Like, what are, like, none of your skills would work. He was like trying to make you figure out these ornate things that he made that required no skill checks whatsoever, and only he thought were clever.
It's magically locked and you don't have a key. That kind of bullshit.
It was that kind of bullshit. And we all kind of got together after the one session and just went, so this is done, right? Like without him there, like, yeah, this is done. This is done. My other one, I was much younger and I used to be quite a good chess player when I was a kid. And I remember playing in this game against someone that I did not like at all. A fake friend, as it were. And I had this guy like on the ropes in a chess game. And this was the game that was going to get you into like the championship, like the county, whatever it was, championship. And I'm like, I got this. I got this. And he made some kind of like look over there distraction thing. And I looked over. And when I came back, he had moved pieces around.
Oh, come on.
And I knew it. And I called him on it. And he just went, nope. That was there the whole time. No one else saw it. This guy had been like physically abusive to me in the past. And I just was like, well, I don't need any more of that shit in my life. So I was like, all right, I guess you got me, asshole. And it really kind of went and threw off my entire wanting to keep playing chess good as I was as a little kid. Cause I just went, what's the point if this is just going to happen? And I regret that now, but that was maybe my worst gaming experience in that regard.
So many of my worst games, I can't talk about on the mics.
I'm having that problem too.
Yeah, because let me just run down the list with the slight references, and I'll get to the one that I can talk about. The time I agreed to demo a game for a friend's friend, and the friend in question put a lot of pressure on me to do it, which is how I ended up demoing the game Nazis versus Klansmen.
Ugh. What?
Do they all die in the end?
I'm not going to go there. I'm just not. My feedback critique was, so you need to rethink the entire theme of your game. You have some interesting mechanics, but the theme is horrible. Don't ever speak to me again.
Yikes.
Of course, I've had more than once where the game master's significant other was involved. The one that was highly disturbing, where I was playing a game of Axis and Allies, where the person playing Russia was really, really into the person playing Germany, but Germany did not realize that there was some amorous affection going on, which led to the game of Axis and Allies where Russia kept bailing Germany out.
What the?
What weird work? Okay. All right.
Okay.
But the one that I remember.
Can I ask you out on a detente?
Ooh. My friend Wolfgar and I were trying to find a new gaming group, and we were trying to find some new people to play with.
But did you say Wolfgar?
Wolfgar.
Wolfgar, as in like from Brunor and Drizzt, companion in the north?
That would be the correct name, yes.
All right,
yes.
Cool.
It was his legal name.
Fantastic.
Yep. So,
all right.
You know,
sorry, keep going.
I come from a part of the nation where there's a lot of Scandinavian people, and you do meet people named Odin, and it's a family name that's been handed down. But we were trying to find a gaming group, and we'd looked in a couple different places and tried with a couple groups, and, you know, had not come up with a gaming group that really worked yet. And we got propositioned by this guy to come play in his game that he wanted to start. The idea was cool. Fantasy creatures in an alternate West, early Wild West setting.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was cool.
Okay.
GURP system. There was a lot going in there.
Potential.
Potential. There was potential. And then I walked in and I saw the first wrestling poster. And then I saw their second wrestling poster.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with wrestling. I don't enjoy it, but I have many friends that do. And they explained it in awesome ways.
And then I saw the third wrestling poster. Then I saw the Hustler poster. Then I saw the fourth wrestling poster. Then I saw the second Hustler poster.
Oh, dear.
And then I saw the two malnourished cats.
Oh, dear.
I have never tried to get so hard out of a game in my life. It was bad. It was so bad. We did that one session. It was like everything wrong in, you know, it was there were tons of signs. And like when I say there's nothing wrong with having wrestling posters, but when you're in a rental apartment and you obviously used an industrial staple gun to put them on the walls.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
You've reminded me of the worst game ever. Literally was a tabletop campaign that I joined when I lived in Atlanta. It was the only game around. And it, for some reason, it was really hard to find other gamers around that time. So if you wanted to play D&D, you played it at this guy's table. And he was one of the most min-maxing, childish, immature, just he was a man-child, man-baby GM who liked to get his way and get to work out all of his personal hatreds of himself onto the people playing his game.
Yikes.
He was awful.
That seems healthy.
It was, he rewarded people that sucked up to him personally in game. And it was a terrible game. It was the only game. His house stank. His cat was well fed, but the whole place was unclean and smelled like cat poop. It was awful. Well, there's a positive side effect from this, in that it's also where I met my best friend, Greg, because who hated me at first, because I figured out how much I hated this game, but I really enjoyed fucking with it. So I started making characters called Kill Me Now and just played it. And I stopped giving a shit. And Greg was like, those guys don't take the game seriously. And then later he's like, yeah, I figured out why. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks for listening, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
We love you, Greg. I think the one that would be most appropriate to tell at this table this evening would be my first ever RPG experience back in 1997. I was 16 years old. And I had my first quote unquote serious boyfriend at the time. And his friends wanted to get together and play Mage.
What a horrible game to start with.
What a wonderful game. What a horrible game to start with.
So we were all like, you know, SCA kids. So like you do. That's how we met. That's how we met, was at the SCA, of course.
This explains so much about you.
Nerds.
Right? Yeah. Nerds. Nerds, so many nerds. So we go to the local Bennigan's.
Not Denny's?
Hold on. Nope. Hold on.
Bennigan's.
Hold on. So let me get this straight. You were a theater kid.
Yes.
Who was into SCA.
Yes.
Whose first game was Mage.
Yes.
And played at Bennigan's.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I was also a goth kid, remember?
Oh, God. There has to be an encyclopedia entry where you are the picture.
16-year-old me might be. Yeah. 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 So, actually, funny enough, my boyfriend from back in 1997, we're actually still friends. And I've been trying to convince him to listen to the podcast, so he'll probably remember this. Hi. I won't name names just to protect the innocent. And all I remember of this game in the Bennigan's was that I made a character. I had like no idea what was going on. Like, I don't even remember rolling any dice. Like, I have no, I had no clue what was going on. But like, I was a theater kid. I, you know, was, you know, whatever, could do some, a little bit of improv, like badly. I'm terrible at improv, oddly enough. Even despite my hammer crawl zingers that I can pull out. So anyway, so all I remember is that my character had some kind of obsession with like peanut butter, and it was like some kind of special item was like this jar of peanut butter.
Was it crunchy or smooth?
I have probably smooth, because crunchy peanut butter is the worst.
So you were playing a hollow one. Okay, continue.
I have no idea. All I remember is that my character was really clumsy.
Okay, so you were playing a hollow one. Okay, I have continue. No
idea. Anyway, well, she was really clumsy. And all I remember is that every time I asked the GM, like, okay, or every time I said, like, okay, so I'm going to do this, his response was, no, you're not.
What?
Fuck that guy.
I don't remember ever doing anything interesting because I would be like, okay, I'm going to do this. And he's like, no, you're not. No, you can't. No, you're not. No, you can't. And it was awful. And I didn't play another role-playing game until I met you.
Oh, thank you.
Basically.
I'm glad I, you know, brought you back into the fold.
So I don't even remember if it was Hammercrawl, if it was Monster Hearts or something, but it was like,
I think it was Monster Hearts.
Monster Hearts, yeah. In like 6 or 7 years ago. So I went like 20 years or something without playing another role-playing game because that mage game was so awful.
It sounds like, Poppy, if you just let him mansplain the game to you more, it would have been more pleasurable for you.
Ugh.
If you had understood, if you had understood your place.
Wow.
I fully expect to have things thrown at me and I will deserve it.
Okay, Xander, even though I said that I wasn't going to be pushing for time at the beginning of this episode, we do have a little bit of a time thing because Poppy's got to go to an event.
Yep.
So Xander, I'm giving you 5 minutes. Tell us how much Fallout 76 sucks.
Hold on.
Oh gosh, he's taking a huge swig of beer, y'all. Ugh. Just remember, old German makes us belchy. Yep, there we go.
All right. So, first off, I was so fucking excited about this game when it came out because it looked gorgeous. It looked gorgeous. I like bought a special thing for it.
John Denver.
The opening thing was great.
Everything... Talk slower. I'm cutting this line of cocaine for you. And it's going to take me longer than that.
So they put everything I didn't want into this game immediately. they put other players. I don't want to play with other players. This is my fucking world. Two. Okay, so now you have the whole concept is that everyone comes from Vault 76 and then you encounter these players out in this multiplayer game, which I didn't ask for. And then they're supposed to be like, oh, you're also from the vault. And they're just like, out of my way, noob. And they fucking shoot you because they've been playing the game for longer than you have. Then you die. I'm like, we're on the same team. We're supposed to build America. Second, like one of my favorite things about the Fallout series have always been the NPCs because they've been made so beautifully, so clever, great plots, heartbreaking plots. And you know what they have? New NPCs. Bunch of fucking robots. It's just play recordings of people that have died a long time ago. So you encounter nobody in the game at all. Mm. And then they're like, you know what we should do? Limit how much you can carry. Well, that's fine. That's always been a thing. But like, it was so ludicrous at one point that someone actually went and mailed an entire box of those fucking hair clips.
Bobby pins.
Bobby pins. Mailed a whole box of bobby pins to Tim Howard and said, how much do these weigh? As a protest, because they weighed way more than they would in real life. And it crashed like nobody's business. The graphics were buggy. I would like play the game and then we get kicked offline and everything that I just spent like an hour doing was just fucking gone. And I'm like, what? You know what? You know, this wouldn't happen if this wasn't online. Mm. I don't want to play an online game. And then they're like, okay, so we'll try to go and fix some things. You know what we should do? You know what we should do? You know what every Fallout player has ever wanted? A battle royale mode. Are you fucking kidding me? Why would I do that? Like, I'm not playing Call of Duty, you asshole.
Online, gamer bro, circle
This
jerk?
Is why I'm not playing Call of Duty. I don't want a battle royale mode. Just infuriating. Everything they kept doing was like, oh, we'll do like a funny thing where now you can brew some things. I guess that'd be great if there was like, I don't know, NPCs I could share a beer with that were well written, but there's not. You're just making me want to get drunk by myself and hate my life for spending $80 on this fucking game. And finally, they are going... Finally, next year, because they had to push it back to do some other expansion nobody had fucking asked for, they're finally putting some NPCs in there, but it's going to take like a year and a half after the initial fucking release. I have not gone on that game in like 6 months. Every time they add a new thing, it's like, oh, well, I don't want that either. Cool. Maybe another few months.
Hey, Xander.
But I understand all the things that people do want, they are finally adding if you pay them $14 a month.
Oh, my God. God,
the Fallout 1? What was that called?
Yep. Fallout 1?
Fallout First, like, go fuck yourself is really what that is. And I read all these things and it's just like, hey, I know you spent a shit ton of money on this already. I know we added microtransactions because I want to look cool and take selfies of myself in the fucking wasteland. Cool. Ask for that. I definitely asked for that too, Timmy. But now they're going to go and charge you like $100 a year for a game you already spent like $60 to $80 on to do the things you asked for to begin with. Go fuck yourself.
Okay, let's move on to drinks. I assume at some point we're going to come back to the Fallout 76 because I feel like it's the shitty gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, just shitty wait until they pull the shitting. Just wait till they pull the NPCs because they don't sell enough Fallout firsts.
I will kill you in your sleep.
No, they'll probably charge you $5 per NPC added to the game. Anyway, let's talk about drinks.
I would rather drink. I would rather drink a Crownberry than play Fallout 76 the way it currently is right now. Speaking of the worst drinks I've ever had in my entire fucking life, Jacob.
Good segue. Worst drinks.
Worst drinks, huh? So you hated it that much?
Whoa. He just crushed a can with his mind.
I've been PTSD from the Crownberry, especially when this motherfucker pulled a goddamn fifth of old crow out of his bag moments after I downed that thing.
It was more than a fifth.
But in addition to the Crownberry being some of the, probably still the worst thing I've ever had in my entire life.
I wear that like a badge of honor.
Oh, we'll rip that badge off of you so hard and so fast. God, I'm all worked up now. You know what? Someone else go. I'll come back to my second list. I just can't right
I can
now.
Tell you mine already. It's, okay. Back when I lived in Atlanta, I rented a room at a frat house for about a year because it was the PsyUp Salon Fraternity in Atlanta. PsyU, thank you very much for giving me space to live. They needed people to pay the money so they could pay the bills. So they were renting out some of the rooms at their house. And I met a lot of great people. I pretty much owe that house for knowing everybody that I know today. Like everything went through that. Because I met that house and made those connections, awesome things happened. But that house had an annual party they called the Heaven and Hell Party. And you had to pay a little bit of cover to get in, a donation, they called it. And once you did, you could choose to either go to heaven or go to hell. Heaven was 9 consecutive sweets that you had to eat that were just body-destroying sweets. Whereas heaven was, hell was 7 consecutive drinks that you had to have. Many people get to hell. Very few people have made it to heaven because heaven is apparently that difficult. But hell, one of the drinks, there were many drinks in hell that I remember, but I'm going to talk about 2 of them.
It's just a funny sentence to hear out loud. It's a meh.
The first one, every year, the Heaven and Hell Party, they would go to the store and buy next year's step one. And because, and then they would put it in a shed because next year's, the first level is a year old warm Hams special light beer.
That has been sitting in a garage in Atlanta, Georgia for a year.
So that's Mother called, Mary and Joseph.
That's called a hunting cabin beer where I'm from.
Yeah. But that's not the worst. The worst, in my opinion,
it's not the worst.
Was probably step 5. Can you think of 2 captains that should never hang out together?
Captain Morgan and
Cap.
I'm trying to come up with another one. Captain Morgan and Captain Crunch.
There you go.
Oh, God.
It was called the Captain and Captain. And what they did is they took a tumbler, filled it with Captain Crunch, no crunch berries. You don't even get crunch berries. And then they would pour it in with Captain Morgan to fill in the gaps.
I feel it says something about me that I got that one so fast.
Is that like a, like you eat it like a cereal?
No, you kick that rum back as quick as you can. And then you slowly eat the cereal. Because if you wait, it becomes soggy Captain Crunch.
That would slide down your throat easier.
But the texture was awful. It was like so bad.
Yeah, there goes Xander. He's got to have a moment and go vomit.
Captain and Captain will always be the worst drink I've ever had.
I love the stories from those parties that you tell me.
So I actually recently had what might have been the worst, maybe even worse than fucking Crownberry. I've been on this weird kick lately where I'm just trying to buy really stupid, stupid, awful drinks for me and my girlfriend to try that are like sold at convenience stores. So on my way to work, I went, oh, what are Buzz Balls? Anybody?
Never heard of it. Don't know what you're talking about.
That when your barber takes clippers to your nutsack?
Yeah. That's when you get yourself a buzz balls. Yeah. No, buzz balls are these.
Oh, those things. Those
little like the circular margarita, shape.
Coquerita.
Yeah. So buzz balls, they're like $2.50. It's like a flavored malt liquor.
Yep.
That's 15% alcohol.
Yep.
It's like 8 ounces of them.
Yep.
And they had a giant fucking box at this place I walked into, and I just went, fuck it. So I bought one that was pina colada, and one that I think was just, what was the other one, like green apple fuzz or fizz or some shit like that. And I just went, these look terrible. I'm going to buy these, and I'm going to tell her, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. So at work, I kept them in the fridge, make sure they were nice and cold by the time I got home to her. And we cracked these bad boys open. And the faces we made rivaled that of Crownberry. And she doesn't drink great things sometimes on the regular. And she made a face. And I just went, yeah, that's really that bad. And then we went, oh, shake before you drink them. Maybe that was the problem. We shook them a little bit. The pina colada became tolerable. That green apple fuzz was just still just like, you're an abomination before God.
I just think you don't like apple.
I just think you give me shit.
He's not wrong.
So my worst drink was the worst delivered pickup drink of all time. So pickup drink. You're at a bar. You know, this is not a thing for people who are substantially younger than me, but you're at a bar and that person tells the bartender to send you a drink, you know, as a way of breaking the ice and that sort of thing. Very cute girl bought me and sent me over an Irish car bomb.
As a pickup drink?
Yes.
Yikes. Yikes.
I've never had one of those. I'm holding out. I'm holding out for when I hit bottom.
Yeah, they look terrible.
That they are terrible.
Yeah.
You have two of those, you'll hit bottom real fast.
So my worst drink I actually had this year, I think. I was doing a unusual wines wine tasting at a place that shall remain nameless. And I don't even want to say the name of this wine. I think I've blocked it. Like, I can't really even remember what this wine is called. But they were, you know, they're saying, oh, it's like this naturally made wine. Like, they basically, you know, throw the grapes in a vat and just let it, like, naturally ferment. It's like vestigial wine processing or blah, 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 blah. I was like, okay, interesting, sure. It was fucking prison wine.
That's right. Was I there? I think I was there.
No, you weren't. You weren't at that one. You just heard me talk about it a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Prison it's wine. Like you were there.
And then I pointed it out at another wine shop that we were at.
Yeah.
And I said, never buy that. It's awful. It's basically, so a number of years ago, some friends of mine made dumpster wine. Which is where you go to the dumpster of, like, you know, new seasons or something and get all the expired juice that they have, like, thrown away.
Oh, God.
And then you take that home and you ferment it.
Puno. It's called Puno.
Okay. Or, you know, dumpster
I
wine.
I prefer dumpster wine.
I like dumpster wine.
Yeah. Dumpster wine, prison wine,
that
toilet
That sounds like
wine.
Something I shouldn't drink. Unlike Puno, in which I'd be like, oh, I'm curious.
It basically tasted like somebody took some inexpensive juice and let it ferment. And then they put it in a bottle, put a fancy label on it, and are now charging $20 a bottle for it.
Is this a scheme we can get it on? Can we fund Bikers Dyson Bars through this?
I honestly, I asked. I was like, was this wine made as a joke? To see how much Portlanders would pay for fucking prison wine.
We are in Portland. I'm sure we could pull off this scam.
It didn't even taste, literally it didn't even taste alcoholic. It tasted like juice, and I don't think I even got, I don't think there was any alcohol in it.
Did it taste like juice and regret?
It tasted like juice and just bougie hipster asshole.
But God. Did it taste like someone made homemade wine out of ketchup and Tabasco sauce?
Oh, God, no, but. I'm not. Why would you pay $20 a bottle for prison wine?
Hey, man, fancy labels go a long fucking way.
Oh, my God.
Well, Well, speaking of fancy labels, let's go ahead and put a stamp on this one and wrap this episode up here, because Poppy's got to roll out. Yeah.
Worst episode ever.
Oh. Worst episode ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, this, I got to roll out.
Yeah.
I'm going to go represent Breakfast Puppies at the Portland Weird United Gala this evening.
And you're going because of a sad reason.
Yes, I'm
one
going,
of the worst weeks ever.
One of the worst weeks ever. Our dear friend, Rojo the Llama, passed away.
Oh.
And he was supposed to be at the gala tonight representing the Mountain Peaks, Therapy Llamas, and Alpacas. And in his stead, Napoleon is going to be there.
Oh.
So I am going, and I'm rocking my Rojo t-shirt, and I'm going to go represent Breakfast Puppies to go give the Llama Mamas some big hugs and kisses and condolences from Breakfast Puppies.
Rest in peace, Rojo.
Rest in peace, Rojo. We love you.
He was a sweetie.
He was.
So cute.
He was. I just loved him.
Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up then. Once again, we wish to remind you, dear listeners, that if you wish to interact with us online, join us on Discord, send us some Facebook messages, maybe tweet at us, you know, however you like, we're out there. And if you want to help us pay the bills, pop onto our Patreon and kick us a buck or two a month, or we've got a little tip link in the Pinecast jar that is in every one of our episode show notes. Kick us a buck. We thank everybody who has helped us. You're helping us buy this booze that we're drinking, at least.
And again, on Discord, we're actually all fairly active on there. So do you want to interact with us? We're there. I mean, I'm there at least two or three times a day. So come by and say hi.
Yeah, they're there. I'm over there, here in my there, rocking there, chair. Yeah,
there.
Rest of them all are there. I'm over in my rocking chair going, get off my lawn.
I'm there like once a week, maybe. I don't know.
Well, once a week, once a day, join us, say hello, and we'd love to meet you. And maybe if you're local, we'll head out, get some drinks, and get to know you.
Yes, yes. In fact, we have some of those coming up. Watch this space for some announcements regarding some meetups that are going to be planned for the month of December.
Sweet! I love meetups. Anyway, you've been listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars, as usual. I'm NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
Poppy Beaujolais.
And once again...
Shiny side up.
Always tip your bartender.
Always roll those crits.
And please always drink responsibly.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your car. But Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Bikes, Dice, and Bars.